Hey y'all, it's Stephanie from Root to Seed. We made it to our 10th episode, and as long as people are listening and learning, we will keep the episodes coming. This episode is going to concentrate on companion planting. Root to Seed grows organically, and we use as many methods that have been passed down from those who gardened before us. Companion planting is a wonderful organic pesticide and herbicide. It's also a proven method that can be attributed to the Northeast Woodland Tribes, who were the first to plant Three Sisters, which is corn grown with beans, with the corn acting as the support for the beans, and squash to act as the ground cover underneath it all to prevent weeds and keep the soil damp. We grew Three Sisters last year, and we posted photos on our social media if you want to check that out. A bit of news since our last episode: we released a limited edition lemon and lavender soap scent for spring. It can be found in the shop of our website. The chicks that remain, Gail and Rita, are doing well. They are healthy and happy and developing as they should. I'm so happy to share the companion planting method of growing with you, but first, a quick break. As I mentioned, we already use this method in the Root to Seed gardens, and I've been using it for so long I do it without even thinking about it. Most information about companion planting is anecdotal, but what I'm going to share with you today are proven pairs, and I'll explain why they work well together. I do hope this will help you to put down the Roundup and grow organically. Once I start talking about pairs, you may want to write some things down that relate to your gardens, but even better, you can go to www.roottoseedonline.com to the community blog page and locate the companion planting blog, which has charts of pairs within it. It will tell you what you should plant together and what you shouldn't plant together. After a while, you'll know these pairs naturally. Here's an easy one to start with. Who doesn't love tomatoes with basil? Well, these two are great companion pair. The basil acts as a deterrent to pests, specifically whiteflies and hornworms, which are common pests that target tomatoes. It also has improved yields in some varieties of tomatoes. I've seen this with specifically cherry and Roma varieties. Tomatoes also pair well with carrots, onions, celery, lettuce, parsley, and spinach. These pairs are all spring plants, so while these plants are growing happily in spring, they act as a protector and insulator to the seedling tomato. They cover the earth, preventing weeds that could steal important nutrients, and they also add needed fertilizer for the tomato. When the tomato grows, it then shades these crops from the hot burning sun. Do not plant anything from the brassica family with tomatoes. That would be things like cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage, and things like that. These will attract unwanted insects. Cucumbers, which are a vining crop, act as an umbrella for crops like lettuce, celery, peas, and radishes. They also intertwine well with beans and get along well with dill. The dill in this pair acts as an attractant for beneficial insects that eat the eggs of damaging pests. Do not plant cucumbers near melons, potatoes, or sage. Peppers grow well with basil, tomatoes, onions, and spinach. These pairs act as disease prevention for the peppers by providing it with nutrient boosters. Peppers, like tomatoes, should not be paired with any brassicas. Onions grow well with carrots, cabbage, lettuce, parsnips, and tomatoes. In these pairs, they are shared nutrients as well as pest deterrents. In addition, onions improved the flavor of plants that they were planted near. Onions do not do well near beans, peas, or asparagus. Squash and melons grow well with corn, beans, peas, dill, and radishes. The towers of these plants act as an attractant for beneficial insects. Onions, beets, potatoes, and other root vegetables should not be planted near squash or melon, as they may disrupt their root stability. Lettuces do well interdispersed with chives, corn, garlic, peas, beans, beets, carrots, and radishes. They too do not do well with brassicas. What I tend to do with lettuce is plant them in free spots in the garden beds, obviously away from the broccoli, but I like to cover the soil with plants to deter weeds from gaining the sunlight they need to germinate. I'm really not a fan of weeding. Carrots do well with tomatoes, leeks, rosemary, sage, and chives. All of these pairs help to deter carrot flies. The herbs coriander and dill can actually harm carrots as they tend to suffer from the same diseases. I'll be back in a few seconds to discuss how to integrate herbs into the garden beds. Herbs are a great addition to garden beds, as are flowers. You may be figuring this out already, but the root-to-seed gardens are not monocultures. They are a full menagerie of life. This is done first and foremost because I want healthy soil, and a monoculture sucks the life from the soil each growing season. One way I increase the likelihood that my plants will grow well and retain health is to add herbs and flowers. Using basil, cilantro, and mint. With mint, though, you have to be aware to only plant those in pots because they'll take over your entire yard. Oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage, and thyme throughout the garden can deter pests and attract beneficial insects without any work from you. Herbs are helpful as many are very aromatic, and it's this scent that deters certain insects and animals you don't want and attracts those you do. I'm sure when I'm out in the garden to swipe over the herbs with my hands a few times to get their scent into the air, especially when the weather's dry and still. With mint, I usually plant a few pots of this and disperse them in the garden beds and on my deck, as they're also a mosquito deterrent. Oregano especially benefits the brassicas, as it deters the cabbage beetle, which can be devastating, and let's face it, it's the brassicas that need friends too. Sage plants do well with strawberries, as it deters the very insect that will destroy these fruit plants. A good habit with herbs, if you have the space, is to allow one of each herb plant to flower. The beneficial insects will love your garden. The birds will too. Flowers work well in the garden also. For a long time, I didn't really care about flowers. I kind of felt like if you can't eat it, what use is it to me? But I've changed my ways, and now I plant native pollinator flowers everywhere I can. Not only do they attract pollinator insects, they add bursts of color in an otherwise mostly green landscape. They smell great, attract a variety of birds, and the more you cut them, the more they grow, so your home can be adorned with flowers as often as you like, or you always have a quick gift to give. In our area, common pollinator flowers include borage, calendula, and nasturtium. These are edible also and can be added to salads and cocktails or used as a garnish if you so wish. Cosmos, lavender, sunflowers, sweet pea, and zinnias are all known to attract pollinators and deter unwanted pests. In general, marigolds are a great deterrent for a variety of insects and creatures, and while these aren't my favorite flower, I plant at least a few of them in each garden bed. I'll be back in a few seconds with my final thoughts. I do hope the information I shared today is useful to you. Do download the companion planting chart in the community blog. It will save you from trying to remember all of this. Next week's episode will be our spring check-in. Be sure to stay up to date by signing up for the newsletter and emails. I promise we don't send out a lot. And follow us on social media. If you're liking the podcast, subscribe and leave a review. These actions really do help us bring you the best content we can. And until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.